something. Put expectancy on the Holy Ghost. He's the great teacher. He's the great revealer. We don't expect anything. We don't get anything, do we? It makes a difference on our pull and our tug on the Holy Ghost who lives in us. Amen. Let's open up with prayer and we'll get started this morning. Father, we come before you this morning, blessing your name, praising you, thanking you for another time to hear your word, and that your words are life, healing, medicine to all our flesh, and that you watch over your word to perform it, and that your word never returns unto you void, but it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are the great revealer of all truth, the great illuminator, the one who reveals and illuminates and enlightens the Word of God into the heart of each listener. We thank you for receptive hearts today, open hearts today, hungry hearts today. You said those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Hallelujah, what a promise. Today I ask that you think through my thoughts, speak through my lips your words today, Father, in Jesus' name, that I open my mouth and speak as of the oracles of God with the tongue, the power, the ability of God. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You believe that?
Yes.
Say amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, just a quick reminder here this morning that every single time the Word of God is being taught or preached, that the power of God is made available.
Yes.
That same exact time. Whenever the Word is going forth, the Spirit of God is there to confirm the Word of God in the hearts of the listeners. So what are you saying that for, Pastor Debbie? Because I'm saying to you that you're in an atmosphere right now that's charged with faith and expectancy, and the Word of God is going forth. And so the Word is going to do its part, but it's also waiting for you as the receiver.
That's right.
You as the receiver and the claimer that what belongs to you is yours, and nothing, nobody's going to take it from you. Hallelujah. So we got God that's done his part, and then we got to do our part. All the promises of God are conditional. God does his part, which he's done, and he's waiting for us to do our part, which is what? Claim it. Glory to God. Receive it. Make it your own. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. So we do have a part to play. It's not on the Lord. Say, it's not on the Lord. It's on me. Yeah, what I choose to do with it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But we also know that faith is released. Faith is released through our words and our actions.
Right.
Our actions should line up with what we believe with our hearts. Our actions should line up with what we believe with our hearts.
Yep.
And like I said before, we have to get the word down into our hearts so where it becomes revealed, made known, understood. There's an understanding. There comes a persuasion, a knowing that you know that you know that you know that you know.
Right.
Because God has said it, you got it. Hallelujah. And that settles it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we got to take and spend time with the Word of God. The Word of God has to become our primary focus, not our secondary focus. Let me say that again. The Word of God has to become our primary focus and not our secondary focus, where just in case this doesn't work, I can. Oh, come on now. That means you're not fully persuaded yet. No condemnation there. It just means you need to spend more time meditating, thinking on that word, dwelling on that word, entertaining that word, rolling it over and over in your spirit, speaking it, muttering it out loud, muttering it to yourself over and over and over again, letting those words drop down into your heart, into your spirit. where it's not just head knowledge or sense knowledge, or mental assent. Mental assent won't get the job done. But revelation that comes by the Spirit of God concerning the Word of God will get the job done. And it'll work every single time that you choose to work it. Hallelujah. So we started last week on a series saying, say. The power of our, say. Yeah. The power of our words. And how our words make a difference, because we know that faith comes by hearing, but it gets released through our words and our actions. So your words are either giving God place in your life, or your words are giving the enemy, the devil, place in your life. That's just the way it is. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, what? Death and life. Death and life are in the power of our tongues. Yeah. So we can be speaking life to our situation. Hallelujah. And I trust that's what we're all doing, is speaking life to our situation. Or you could be speaking death to it. Death can work either two ways, for the good or for the bad. Because you've been given power and authority and dominion on the earth to exercise the authority that's been given to you, delegated to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name, we have the power of attorney to exercise our authority and our dominion. So you have that in the name of Jesus to exercise your authority and take dominion over that which is trying to rob you of God's best. Trying to rob you of the blessing of God that God said already belongs to you. This is why we got to put our foot down, draw a line in the sand, and say enough is enough. According to the Word of God, I am who it says I am. Say this one first, though. I believe I am who it says I am. I believe I have what it says I have. I believe I can do what it says I can do. Yeah. Yeah, with your heart, you're saying these things. And it's the Word of God that God confirms. He confirms the words that are spoken in faith. In faith, hallelujah. So faith plays an important role to the life of the believer. We cannot get away from it, won't get away from it. It's part of our life. When God told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. The New Living Translation says we're to walk by believing and not by seeing. Oh, woo, that means that, the five senses that want to cut in, which is the voice of our bodies, the five senses are the voice of our bodies, but we got to remember, here we go, this will take you to another level in your faith when you come to realize and have the revelation and the understanding that you're more than just a physical body. The physical body is not the real you. The sooner you come to learn and know and understand that, that's the house of the shell for your spirit man to live in. Your soul and your spirit, which will go on into eternity forever and ever and ever. But your physical body is here to house your spirit and your soul. So the body has to come in line with what we believe with our heart and what we agree with God with our minds. So that's why it's important that we are to continue to renew our minds all the time. Your mind never stays no more renewed than your hair stays combed. I don't know about you, but I got to hit that every single day, two or three times a day. Depends on if I'm going out in the wind or not. Hallelujah. But that mind, we think, well, I can live off of what I did yesterday. Well, according to the Word of God, what did God tell the Israelite, the children of Israel? Go out and collect the manna every single day, fresh manna, every day, every day. The importance of that manna every day in their lives to sustain them, preserve them, strengthen them. How much more the Word of God? He tells us in Matthew 4:4, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right. It's out of the mouth of God to you, gets back in your mouth, back to God. Woo, hallelujah. Right. It's a continual process. Yeah. God said it to us. He spoke it in the beginning. We hear it, we believe it, and we speak it back to him. God, your word says, I believe what your word says. I believe it. Hallelujah. So I want to go back over a couple of the quotes that we said last week concerning faith and the importance of our faith and the say, why we need to say, the importance of saying, hallelujah. We said, number one, faith is being sure we have something, whether we see it or feel it, but because God said it. We have it because God said it. You know, if the devil can deceive you, he can defeat you. He tries to win through bluff and deceit by continuing to ditch you, to get your eyes on and your faith in something that is not the truth when it comes to the Word of God. He wants you looking at the symptoms. He wants you rehearsing the doctor's report over and over again. He wants you rehearsing what somebody else said, what somebody else did, what happened to them. They didn't make it. Pastor Debbie, I know they were a person of faith, but they didn't make it. Well, guess what? You're not them. They're not you. That's between them and the Lord. But you're still here to make a difference with your faith. We cannot base our faith on somebody else's faith and what happened to them. We have to base our faith on the Word of God. It's got to be the primary focus, not the secondary focus. Secondly, we said this, faith is the Word of God prevailing over sense evidence. The Word of God prevailing over sense evidence, which your five senses would continue to try to dictate to you. Which you can see, feel, taste, touch, and smell. We know that's the voice of the body, but that's not the real you. It's not the real us. We are a spirit. We possess a soul. We live in this body. And when two get in agreement against one, that third one has to get in line. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We also said faith is simply acting on the Word of God, taking God at His Word. Simply acting on it. God, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. I don't have to have a feeling first. I don't have to feel this pain no more before I believe it. No. He wants us to believe it first, then the pain leaves. Right. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Then we said strong faith. Strong faith is seeing yourself the way God sees you and saying about yourself what God says about you. Strong faith. Seeing. And we know that seeing goes back into what? Proverbs 23, verse 7. The you that you see is the you that you'll be. Or it says, so is a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you can't see it, you can't be it, because the Word of God, if you continue to dwell on it and meditate on it, it will paint a picture on the canvas of your heart, but you have to see it in here first. Right. See it paints a picture and you begin to see yourself, so you use your imagination as it begins to paint the picture and you can continue to pre-play your future, what God says about you. With a long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation, he said. He didn't say with a short life, did he? No, he didn't. He said, what? Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They perish or die prematurely, because he promised us all a long life. So is the number of my days, so shall my strength be. My eyes will not grow dim, neither will my natural forces be abated. Hallelujah. Praise God. We said this also. The spirit of faith will announce the outcome right in the middle of adversity. It doesn't wait for the symptoms to leave or the pain to leave before it announces the outcome. No. Faith announces the outcome right in the face of adversity. It announces healing in the face of disease or sickness. It announces victory in the face of defeat. It announces prosperity in the face of poverty. Yes. Those three things we know Christ redeemed us from. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Hallelujah. That was the curse of the law. Yeah. Praise God. So faith will say about itself everything the Word says, because faith in God is simply faith in His Word. Faith, the God kind of faith, will say about itself everything the Word says. Yeah. That's why I said, if you don't know where to start or what the Word says about you, we have free handouts in the back on the table as you come in that you can pick up and learn to find out who you are in Christ. Yeah. And go through your Bible and highlight those verses. Mark them. Get them on the inside of you. Speak them every day. Yeah. Get in front of a mirror like I did. Say it in front of the mirror. This is who you are, girl. Ain't no way. Don't let nobody else tell you who you are. Oh, you know, I think about Rick Renner's testimony. From the time he was little, when he got in school, how the devil had set up from his first school teacher. His first school teacher. She looked at him and she taught his daddy. And so she remembers his daddy. And she looked at Rick Renner and she would say, stupid, that's what you are. You are stupid. You can't do anything. You are stupid. And he said those words began to sink down in his heart, when really he was not stupid at all. Words have power. That's why it's so important that our words line up with what God says about us and not what the enemy says. We don't want to allow or give the enemy any place in our lives, and one way we do is through our words. Your actions also, but through your words. It starts with your words. We said this, we said faith moves God, faith moves mountains, but faith won't move anything until it begins to move your mouth first. Your mouth first. The Holy Ghost will always move you to speak. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. The Holy Ghost will always move you to speak. Yes. What does it tell us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34? Out of the abundance, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know what's mostly abiding in your heart, listen to what you're saying. Are you continuing to speak what God says about you? Or are you speaking the problem and talking about the problem and going online and looking up that problem and finding out all its causes, all its side effects, all of this, all of its symptoms? No, you know, the whole time you're looking all that up, it's planting doubt and unbelief in you, right. Fear, all of that comes. Just like when you put the Word of God in and you plant the seed of the Word and keep watering that Word, and that's building faith in you. Fear has to go because of what you know. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So it moves abundance of the heart. We're doing a quick review here. We looked at an example like last week in Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. We know she heard something first. She heard about Jesus, but what she heard was good news to her. And so she got that down in her heart, and she began to say with her mouth, if I can just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. So she heard first to produce the faith. And then she kept saying, the Bible says, and she kept saying, if I can just get to, if I can get to, if I can get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, if I, over and over and over again. And then the day came, she found herself moving out of her house, taking a chance. Yeah, she could have been stoned to death, but her faith moved her. The words she kept saying over and over, she believed them, and they produced an action. She got out of her home where she'd been isolated and hidden and couldn't get out in public. Come on now. But she took a chance and got out there, because she was determined that she was going to get to Jesus. Woo, glory to God. She was going to get to her answer. So she established her what and her when. Her Her what was her healing? Her when was when she was going to get it. I'm going to get it when I touch the hem of his garment. He don't have to say nothing. He don't have to do nothing. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. Come on now. We think it's a lot when the centurion said, just speak the word only. But she said, look, if I could just touch him. Her faith, that's where her faith was. Jesus said, according to your faith. According to your faith. Here, look, if we want what the people in the Bible got, we got to do what the people in the Bible did. They acted their faith. They released their faith. And we saw that she kept saying, and then she did something, and then that doing and her saying and her doing produced the right actions, and it brought the right result into her life. Immediately, she felt a power go into her, and Jesus felt a power come out of him. Because he realized her touch of faith was different than all the rest of them that was pressing up against him and being pushed. And it was a touch of faith and expectancy. Just like you sitting here in this room today. You don't have to wait to the end for somebody to come and lay hands on you. There is faith here in this. Yeah. There is the healing power of God is tangible. It's just like electricity in the natural. Except it's the healing power of God in the supernatural. And it's your faith that connects to the power. So you don't have to wait. It can go off in the side on the inside of you like a lightning bolt. Yeah. Glory to God, I got it, I see it. And all of a sudden you just take it, claim it, you're sitting right there in your seat. Woo! And then you might just want to release your faith a little bit. Get up, dance, run, shout, hallelujah, I got it, it's mine, glory to God. Hallelujah. So it did with the woman with the issue of blood. Then I gave an example about the man who every man in his family, this man's name was Donald G. He was in the Pentecostal movement. And every man in his family died at the age of 40. Every man in his family died at the age of 40. So when Donald G. began to get around the age of 40, what happened? Fear. The devil tried to grip him with fear. And then some symptoms started showing up that he knew his kinfolks had the same time when they dealt with what they did and died. So he dealt with the fear, he dealt with the symptoms, and then the devil begins to play with his thought life and the devil begins to tell him, it's incurable. You're gonna die just like your kinfolks did. The doctors can't cure this. You're gonna die. Those words kept echoing over and over and over again. And this is where he had to take charge, the Bible says. He was driving down the road, and these things were coming against him. He rolled down his window. He says, out you go, fear, in Jesus' name. I ain't having no more fear. And he began to declare the word of the Lord. What happened, Pastor Deb? He lived to be 90-some years old before he left the earth. He outlived every one of those that the devil tried to take from him when he was trying to steal his life. But the enemy likes to play like that. He likes to remind you, well, your kinfolks or happened down the family line and this happened and you know you're in that family. You got the same thing. Who said so? No, I don't. I've been redeemed. That's under the curse. Christ redeemed me under the curse of the law. I got a new DNA. I got a new bloodline. I'm in a new family. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you got to remind the devil that. You got to let him know. I got a new bloodline. I'm in a new family. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so when that man got serious and he rolled down his window and kicked it all out of the window, he said, nope, 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 nope. He began to use his own words to set his destiny. He lived past 40 and kept on going till 90-something years old. The importance, so important. He dealt with thoughts. He dealt with what the devil was saying to him. He dealt with the lying symptoms, what he was feeling in his body. Just because you're feeling it doesn't mean you're failing it.
Right.
Pain and symptoms is not the proof and the evidence that you're not healed. The Word of God is the proof and the evidence that you are healed. Thoughts will come and go, but we have to, it's what we do with those thoughts. What does it tell us? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. Cast down those imaginations. Cast them down. Replace them, in other words. Don't allow that devilish thought to stay there and irritate you and frustrate you and get you discouraged and finding yourself depressed and down. No. Immediately begin to cast it down. And how do you replace it? By opening your mouth and saying immediately what God's word says about you. I am far from oppression. Fear shall not come near me in Jesus' name. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I refuse to fear. I resist fear in Jesus' name. Jesus called it a spirit of fear. What did the Bible tell us? James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore unto God and his word. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Hallelujah. It also tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, give no place to the devil. And we do it through our words and our actions. This is why we're talking about say. I want us to turn in our Bibles today. We're going to look at another Bible example today concerning say. And how say produced two different results here. It can work for the positive or it can work for the negative. And so let's turn in our Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to look at the 12 spies that Moses sends into the promised land. The 12 spies that went into the promised land. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? Everybody all right? Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me show you this first. To believe God with the heart means to believe apart from our body or what our physical senses may tell us. To believe God with the heart means to believe apart from our body or what our physical senses may tell us. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto healing, unto your deliverance, unto your safety. Yeah, confession is made unto. But it's with the heart, with the heart. So when you're believing with the heart, it means you're believing apart from your body or what your physical senses may tell you. So right here in Numbers chapter 13, our words determine our destiny. What have you been saying to determine your destiny? Because it does make a difference. If we look in chapter 13, I'm reading from the Amplified. We're looking at verse 1 first. It says, chapter 13, verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader or head among them. So right from the get-go, right here in verse 1, when God speaks to Moses and tells him to send these spies, he says, send them out into the land which I have given them. God spoke it from the very beginning that he gave them this land. Well, did it just fall in their lap like ripe cherries off a tree? No. He told them, he gave them the word, his word concerning this promised land. I've given you this land, but you must go in and possess it, claim it, take it by force. Why does it tell us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Take it. They take it. They take it. So here we go. Here's the 12. Here's Moses. He got a word from God. God said, I've given them this promised land, but you're going to send 12 spies over. So let's go to verse 17 now. Same chapter, verse 17. So Moses sent them, the 12 spies, to scout out the land of Canaan and said to them, get up this way by the south, the Negev, and go up into the hill country. Verse 18. And see what the land is and whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many. Verse 19. And whether the land they live in is good or bad. And whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds. Ooh, glory. Verse 20. And what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is timber on it or not. And be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 21. So they went up. Here we go. The 12 spies go up and they scouted through the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob and entrance into Hamath. Let's go down to verse 23. And they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between two of them. And they brought also some of the pomegranates and figs. These must have been so tremendously rich and blessed and just luscious looking fruit. Verse 25. And they returned from scouting out the land after 40 days. Say 40 days. 40 days. So here they were. They were sent by Moses because Moses got a word from God. He said, God said, he's given us this promised land. He said, go in, scout the land out, find out what it's all about. And he said, return and come back and give me a report on it. 40 days they were in there. So it wasn't something that was just a one little day trip and come right back. A quick sneak peek. It was not a quick sneak peek. Right. I mean, they were in there checking things out to the minute detail, to the size of the fruit that they brought back between two people on a pole. That's pretty big grapes, all I got to say. Hallelujah. So in verse 25, it says, they returned from scouting out the land after 40 days. Verse 26, they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the Israelite congregation in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh and brought them word and showed them the land's fruit. Verse 27, they told Moses, we came to the land to which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they start out pretty good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They started really good. Verse 28. But, Billy goat faith. We don't want no billy goat faith in here. When you see a but in there, that's not good. That's not good. Billy goat faith don't produce for you. But, verse 28, the people who dwell there, now they're moving from, let's watch now. It says, but the people who dwell there, they're strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak of great stature and courage. Verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Now, Caleb was one of the 12 spies that went into the land and searched it out for 40 days. He was one of them. It says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. Woo! What in the world gave him courage to do that? Because he heard and he remembered what Moses said that God had said. God said, I've given you this land, but you have to go in and possess it. Caleb says, hey, if God said it, bless God, then he's going to help us. Hallelujah. If he said it, it's ours, it's ours. God says healing is yours. It belongs to you. Don't let the devil take what rightfully belongs to you. God said he has already provided healing for your physical body in every way, mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yes.
Come on now. He's provided for that healing. It's yours. You are the healed of the Lord. You're the redeemed of the Lord, and you say so. Psalms 107, verse 2. Verse 20, it says, he sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all your destruction. Those are verbs that have already happened. They're past tense. Something has already happened. Yeah. So here we go with Caleb. He quieted the people. He said, before Moses and the people, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. Woo, glory, a whole different spirit about him. Yeah. Verse 31, but his fellow scouts, here we go, his fellow scouts, those who went up with him and saw the same thing, smelt the same thing, tasted the same thing, heard the same thing, the same group that he was with for 40 days now. This fellow, he said, but his fellow scouts said, we are not able to go up against the people of Canaan. For they are stronger than we are. Who told them that? Uh-oh. They're going by sight, the five senses.
Yeah.
What did we say about? What did we say about it? Faith. Well, faith. We said faith. Hallelujah. Is the word of God prevailing over sense evidence? They could have chose to believe the same thing that Caleb did, what God had said when he told Moses. So let's look here. We are not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are stronger than we are. Verse 32, so they brought the Israelites an evil report. Woo! God called that an evil report. They brought the Israelites an evil report of the land which they had scouted out, saying, we talked about say, your words what? Determine your destiny. Your words determine your destiny. What are you saying? Confession can work in a positive, it can also work in a negative way against you. So here we go. So it says, verse 32, so they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land which they had scouted out, saying, the land through which we went to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, there we saw the Nephilim, or giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Their sense evidence began to take a toll on them, and it began to affect their words. Nobody told them that what they were seeing, that they were grasshoppers in their eyes. No. They began to see that themselves because they were focusing on the wrong thing.
That's right.
And it became a negative confession out of their own mouth and began to work against them. If God told them, I've given you this land, you go in and possess it,
that's right,
then they were, like Caleb said, well able to.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what it looked like. Didn't matter how big the giants were in the land, how rough it looked, how many of them it was. If God be for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:31. Come on now.
Yeah.
If God is for you, who can be against
that's
you?
Right.
Doesn't matter how big it may seem or look in the natural.
Right.
We're looking at it from the supernatural.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. What does it say? For we can't, let's go there. Because it talks about we can't, what we see, we have to go by what we believe. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "For we consider and look not to the things that are seen." We don't consider them and we don't look to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, are visible, are temporal." That word means subject to change. What you are seeing or feeling is subject to change by the eternal. What is eternal? The Word of God. Listen to this. It says, "For the things which are visible are temporal, brief, fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting." Woo! So the eternal can swallow up that which is temporal and change it. Oh, glory. So let's go back to Numbers 13. So it says, you have Caleb, who's bringing Moses one report, and you have all the other scouts, or you have Joshua and Caleb, we're going to see right here. In chapter 14, let's look at verse 6. Chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 6. It says, "And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among the scouts who had searched the land, rent their clothes." Why? Because the others were bringing such a negative, bad report, and they knew that that was an evil report, because that's not what God had told them. "I've given you this land." Verse 7, "And they said to all the company of Israelites, 'The land through which we passed as scouts is an exceedingly good land,'" just like God said. Verse 8, "'And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord.'" Oh boy. So an evil report speaking what the enemy was wanted them to say, what it looked like, felt like, seemed like. Those 10 spies that were bringing back an evil report because of what they saw, heard, felt. It says, "Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land." In other words, he was saying, it don't matter how big those giants look, how big those people are. God is with us. God is on our side. Who are they compared to the God? Who are they compared to the God that we have that's on our side? Woo, glory, hallelujah. If God be for you, who can be against you? It says, "For they are bread for us." Woo, that's some good words right there. Saying that your enemy is bread for you. Woo, glory. But what does it tell us in the New Testament? Healing is the children's bread. So it says, "Do neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense and the shadow of protection is removed." Say removed. "Is removed from over them. But the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Oh my goodness. Here's Joshua. Now he's given the same report that Caleb was saying from the beginning. When he said, "Let us go up at once and possess this land. We are well able to." Yeah. They were holding on to the words that God spoke. Yes. This is why it's important that we make the Word of God our primary focus. Hold on to that word and it will hold on to you. Yeah. Embrace that word, it will embrace you. But when the 10 spies came back, and what they saw, they got it in their mouths, they began to say it, it produced fear and unbelief, and it what? It robbed them of God's best. Because look here. Verse 10, "But all the congregation said to stone Joshua and Caleb with stones, but the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting, at the tent of the meeting before all the Israelites." So we see that Moses has to get in there and he has to intervene between the people and God. But I want us to look in verse chapter 14. Let's go to verse 24. This is what God said. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. Well, what kind of spirit did he have? A spirit of faith. Exactly. Because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Glory to God. And listen at this. Verse 28. Tell them, as I live, says the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. So here we have Joshua and Caleb. They say, we're well able to possess this land. We're going to go in and take it, bless God, because God is on our side. God says, whatever you say in my hearing, I'll do to you. Then look at verse 30. Surely none shall come into the land in which I swore to make you dwell except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Why? Because their words determine their destiny. And where the 10 spies that brought the negative report produced a negative destruction for them, because they didn't get to go in the promised land. Yeah. It said only Caleb and Joshua, because their words set their destiny. Yeah. So powerful. And God said, whatever you say in my hearing, I will. That's a good promise to hold on to. I will do for you what I hear you say, what I hear you say continually. Lord, I believe. You sent your word. You healed me. By your stripes I was healed. Lord, I believe I'm the healed of the Lord. I want us to look at verse 38, chapter 14, verse 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among the men who went to search the land, lived still. Everybody else, they continued to roam into the wilderness until every one of them died off. But Joshua and Caleb were kept strong and healthy, and went into that promised land. Their words set their destiny. They, all the 12 spies, were in the same place for 40 days, checking out everything. They heard the same thing, saw the same thing, ate the same thing, smelled the same thing. But yet, 2 come back with a good report, and 10 come back with an evil report. Yeah. We cannot take the testimony of our senses. We have to take the testimony of the Word of God. Right. When we begin to take the testimony of our senses, then we're allowing our bodies, our feelings, our symptoms to dictate to us what is so and what is not so. And it's not the truth. Amen. Your body is a follower. It follows what you determine to believe with your heart and say with your mouth. What you agree with in your mind and your heart, when your mind is in agreement with the word and you believe the word with your heart, your body has to get in line with that. It's a follower. It does matter what you think, because your soul is a leader. This is why it's so important that we are always taking charge of our thought life. The battlefield is in the mind. And that's where you'll win or lose, right here in the mind. So thoughts can come and go. You can't stop the thoughts from coming and going, but you can stop the thoughts by not taking and receiving it, entertaining it, accepting those thoughts. You can't fight thoughts with thoughts, but you can fight thoughts with words, spoken words out of your mouth. This is where so many times we give in. We give in to the enemy. And God is just waiting for us to rise up like Caleb and Joshua and declare, no, God, you said You sent your word and healed me. God, you said 2,000 years ago healing was provided for me. It's already been done. It's a settled deal. It's in the great plan of redemption. The same time my sins were remitted is the same time my physical healing was provided for my body. I'm not going to let the devil take what belongs to me. This is mine. This is what I have. So your lips are constantly confirming what you believe with your heart. So confession can work in a positive way or it can work in a negative way. We don't want to get caught up in what we are feeling or seeing, but in what God has said. And that's going to come and goes always back to what we continue to feed our faith with. Remember, this is faith food. Faith food. This feeds your inward man and it feeds your faith. This is the only thing that will produce the God kind of faith. And so many times people make a mistake. They're asking God to give them faith. God, give me more faith. I need more faith. Give me more faith. When Jesus said, if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, it's not the amount of faith. It's knowing how to release and turn loose what already you have. It's having to release and turn loose your faith and accept what already you are. In the spirit realm, what it says it already belongs to you.
Yes.
You bring it from the spirit realm into this natural realm. You're getting it to change locations to work for you.
That's right.
When Jesus said, it just takes the faith the size of a mustard seed. That's the tiniest little seed in the world. One of the tiniest seeds. And he said, if you had that kind of faith, he said, you could say to the sycamore tree, be uprooted and taken and thrown out. It's not the amount of faith. It's what are we doing with the faith that we have? Are we exercising it? Using it? We've all been given this. We all started out with the same amount of faith. The moment we said yes to Jesus, gave him our lives and our hearts, we said yes to him. That very moment, the measure of the God kind of faith was deposited into your heart. You're not without faith. You have faith. That's why it says 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith. Well, that's taken from the book of Psalms where David was facing the giant. He says, you have the same spirit of faith. What kind of faith did David have? He went up against the giant.
Yes.
And he didn't go up against his giant with his mouth shut.
Right.
David had some things to say to that giant. The giant had something to say. David had something to say. David had the final words to say concerning that giant. And it says he ran to that giant with his mouth open declaring, today your head's coming off. Today you're going to be.
Yes.
He said it. He said, and then Paul speaks of it right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe and we speak.
Yeah.
We believe and we say. Let's stand to our feet.
Yeah.
Hope this is helping you today. Hallelujah. Reminding you who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. Can't hear it enough. Every day we get an opportunity to exercise our faith, use our faith. Every day, every day, every day. You choose. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word, your word, your word. It's life, it's healing, it's medicine to all our flesh. We thank you today for the words of faith that produce life. We thank you that your word never returns unto you void. The seeds that have been sown in here today in the people's hearts, the seed of the word of God that's being watered today, and the seed that's being harvested today, producing much fruit that will remain and bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you for the seed of the word of God. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. Now just standing right here,